Way back in the year of 1995, on November the 4th, it was a Saturday evening, in the city of Tel Aviv, the then Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, he was out on an engagement. And as he was taking part in that engagement, three shots rang out from a car park. Two of them hit the Prime Minister, one of them hit a bodyguard. And there was great speculation as to who this man was that tried to kill the Prime Minister. It was discovered his name was Yigal Amir, and he had been there for some time and had set up a little spot and was watching from the back of a van for the Prime Minister. Israel is renowned for his security, and there was much speculation as to how this could happen. The Prime Minister had five different individuals all there looking after a security detail. And what failed? What went wrong? The Israeli government, they set up a commission. They set up a commission to look into it, and the name of that commission was the Shamgar Commission. And you know, in this portion of Scripture that we've read this morning, we read of a man called Shamgar, there in the very closing verse of Judges chapter 3. In the verse 31, we read these words, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." If you look at the opening chapters of Judges, you read of a man called Othniel. You read of Ehud, whom we find mentioned in this chapter 3. And there are many of the judges that are very familiar. We think of Jephthah. We think of Gideon. These are men that whose names are readily on our mind. We think of Deborah. And yet this name of Shamgar, it's one that we seldom hear mentioned. One verse of Scripture given the information regarding this particular individual. And sometimes we can look and say, well, there's only one verse. Maybe he's not that important. Maybe he's not worth looking at. But you know, if his name's mentioned in the Bible, we ought to look at them. We ought to study their lives. We ought to study their characters. God has put them there for a reason, that we might learn something from them. We think of lives of old and how often they're covered and encapsulated in a little succinct phrase. You think of Enoch, and the words come to mind, a man who walked with God. You think of Noah. He found grace in the sight of God. You think of Abraham, the friend of God. So often the lives of great men are summed up in a little short sentence. But you know, for you and I, as God's people this morning, it brings the question even to our mind, how would our lives be summed up? If there was a little phrase or a sentence used to summarize your life or mine, what would it be? Would it be, that was a man of prayer? That was a woman of prayer? That was a man or a woman of grace? That was a young person with zeal and desire for the things of God? That was an individual who had great foresight for the future? They had great vision for the work of God? How would you and I be summed up? Or would it have to be say that we're numbered amongst the wicked? Amongst those with whom the psalmist tells us that God is angry every day. But as we want to look this morning at this man Shamgar and the solitary battle that he engages in, I want you first of all just to notice a little of the background. We read together chapter 3 and we saw that under the leadership of Ehud, they won the victory over Eglon, king of the Moab. And for 80 years, the land of Israel has known rest. You look at verse 30. It says, "So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. They had peace. They had contentment. They had quietness. No persecution, no hindrances from the outside enemy. But it seems that things have changed. In the days of Shamgar, the enemy, as it appears from this verse, is not the Moabites or the Moabites. It's not those lusty men of valor that are spoken of, but rather it is the Philistines." Commentators tell us that the Philistines had a group of cities. They were known as the Pentapolis. Five cities of Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. And those cities lay between Egypt and Canaan. And these were the cities where these Philistines were attacking Israel from. Time and time again, we read the scriptures and we see that the Philistines were attacking Israel. They were an enemy that was always seeking after them, always trying to bring Israel down. We think of that great battle between David and Goliath. Goliath, that champion of the Philistines, brought into the valley, and his plan and his purpose was that he was going to kill David. And the armies of the Philistines were going to kill all the people of Israel. And you know, as we look at the battle that ensued between David and Goliath, as we look at the battle that is mentioned here between Shamgar and the Philistines, does it not bring to your mind and to mind today that the battle that the Christian faces? You see, the Philistines are looked upon as a type of the world. They're looked upon as a type of the enemy that is always opposing the child of God. And you know, it's the same for the Christian. Today, Christians are faced and opposed from every side. There are always those that are seeking to condemn the use of Scripture. There are always those that are seeking to condemn our Christian heritage. Those that laugh. Those that mock. Those that ridicule. My, when you begin to quote a verse from Scripture, they laugh and say, "You don't believe in that old book." The Christian's under opposition. The Christian's in the battle. There's a conflict. And you know, nothing has changed. It was the same in the days of the Apostle Paul. I'm sure you're familiar with those words in 2 Corinthians 11 and the verse 23. And he writes there, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prison more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times, received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night a day have I been in the deep." You see, the Apostle Paul, as he looked at his life and his ministry for the cause of Christ, it was a life of conflict. It wasn't a life of ease. It wasn't a life where everything went nice and smoothly for him. There were difficulties, there were hardships, there was opposition, there was persecution. And you know, it's the same today. And we ought not to expect anything different. If you're a Christian and someone has told you the minute you get saved, your life's going to change, it's going to be lovely and easy, well, they're misleading you. Your life will not be easy. You'll have opposition, you have hardship, you have difficulty. But in all of those things, you have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. For the child of God today, in the conflicts of life, we are not alone. We have that friend the Bible tells us of that sticketh closer than any brother. And you know, as we look at the life of this man, Shamgar, we see that as he battles and as he fights, he is not alone. Who was he? Well, it simply tells us in the verse 31 that his name was Shamgar, the son of Anath. Some would take this name, Anath, and they would link it with a city, Beth Anath, that is mentioned there in Joshua chapter 19 in the verse 38. That word Beth meaning house, or the house of Anath. They would say he was associated with that. Others look and they say that he is linked with a Hittite king. The name of Anath was that of a pagan goddess. But the Scripture doesn't tell us. Either way, as we look at this man, we see that he is a man with the power and with the help of God. Here as he battles against the Philistines, he knows that help and that strength that's not just of himself, that help that comes from another. He's unknown. You and I, as we think of Shamgar, we could say he's an ordinary 5'8 man. Very little is told about him. We know little of his history. He just seems to appear out of nowhere. He's recorded in Scripture for what he's done. And we read very little of him afterwards. Yet he was used of God. And you know, friend, that reminds you and I as God's people today. We may not be up on the things of this world. We may not have great eloquence. We may not have great position. We may not have great abilities. But God can use us. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you are, God can use you for his honor and for his glory. Here we see this man Shamgar, very little known about him, but God uses him for his labors and for his work. We notice also as we look at this passage and others, that the day in which Shamgar was laboring, it was an ungodly land. A few chapters earlier, if you go on over there to chapter 5, you read of the song of Deborah. And as she sings and mentions this song, and you look down at verse 6, it tells us, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. This man Shamgar, he was a man who labored and fought in a day of great difficulty. There were enemies in the land of Israel. It was a time of danger. Those words of Deborah in chapter 5 and the verse 6, it says the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through the byways. The indication is that it was so dangerous to walk the normal roads, you had to take a back road. Such was the height of crime on the land. Such was the danger to individuals. Such was the danger from the marauding Philistines that you couldn't take the normal road to your destination. You had to go another route. It was a land marked by death, a land marked by violence, a land marked by idolatry as well. Because we see that in the Song of Deborah, that there was idolatry, there was wickedness. And the Philistines come in and oppress them heavily. You turn over there in your Bible to 1 Samuel, the chapter 13. Just so you see how tight a grip the Philistines had on this on the land of Israel at this particular time. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Go down there to the verse 19. There we read, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter, his axe, and his mattock." You see, here we see that the Philistines had so oppressed the nation of Israel, they didn't even have a blacksmith in the land. They hadn't a man in the land to make a sword. They had to go to the Philistines to get their weapons sharpened. And this shows you the grip that these people had upon the nation of Israel. How tightly they restricted the movements of God's people. This was the day in which Shamgar lived. This was a day of violence. This was a day of difficulty, a day of persecution. And you know, as we think of the way the Philistines acted against the nation of Israel, we see there a picture of the way sin affects the child or the individual today. The consequences of sin are such that they restrict the whole life of an individual. They leave them open to the attack of the enemy. That's the way Israel was. They couldn't defend themselves. For today, the sinner, the man or woman that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ, they're laid bare, as it were, to all the elements of this old sinful world, all the wickedness and all the violence that is contained within it, all the temptations of the devil, all the distractions of the devil. The child of God that's not walking with the Lord the way they should, they leave themselves open as well to attack from the evil one. They have no defenses because they're not depending upon the Lord. Here was the land of Israel in the days of Shamgar. My, they were in a hopeless situation. They hadn't even a weapon to defend themselves. They had nothing. Nothing there to hold up, nothing to battle against the enemy. In fact, when you look at Shamgar, what he uses, it's an ox goat. You see how the enemy comes in? Child of God, we see the enemy around us today. And yet we have to be mindful of the enemy, of the old devil. We have to be mindful of sin in our lives and how it can hinder the walk and the work and the labor of the child of God. Paul writes in Colossians 2 in the verse 6. He says, "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up on him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Child of God, today we need to be those that are found in the scriptures of truth. We need to know the Bible. We need to know the author of the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be communing with him every day of our lives. You know, so often when we look at Israel, they were cold. They were in idolatry. They wandered away from God. And God had allowed these enemies to come in to assault them, to bring them back to himself. Quite possibly it was the same in the day of Shamgar. But I want you to notice not only the ungodly land, but I want you to notice this unaccompanied fighter. You see, Shamgar's a man here as an example of one who's willing to be used of God, for the place and time that God had for this individual. And you know, as we read of him there, we don't read of anyone else. We read of Gideon, and we read of those men that assembled themselves with him, and they went down against the Midianites. Here's Shamgar, and he's battling alone. Shamgar was ready. He was willing to do whatever God would have him to do. We don't know his background. We're not sure whether he was a farmer. Perhaps he was a prophet. We're not told of his occupation. But yet the language that's used here would give us the indication he may have been a farmer. The fact that he used the ox goat. We're not told of his background. And yet here we find that the God of heaven used him. This ordinary Israelite. He was willing to be used of God. And you know, friend, that's all God wants today. He wants men and women that are willing, lives that are surrendered, lives that are given to be used of him. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your occupation. God wants surrendered lives. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved and you'll say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do except for this and this and this. That's not the way it ought to be. If you're saved by God's grace, you ought to be saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you would have me to go, I'll do it for your honor and for your glory. Here's a man, Shamgar, and he's a willing vessel in the hand of a holy God. Here's a man, and he makes a valiant fight against the Philistines. And by his efforts, it would seem that he's probably inspired others to fight again. He's inspired others to stand against the enemy. He stood up when God needed him. For many today, you mention the name of Shamgar, they may ask, who was he? The world may have forgotten him. The Christian may have forgotten his name in the Bible, but God hasn't. God recorded his name. Those who worked alone, those who labored away valiantly for the cause of Christ. He was a lonely fighter. Into the battlefield against the Philistines on his own. Ehud took men, Othniel took men, Gideon took men. Shamgar went alone. And you look at the very weapon that he's using, an old ox goat. He didn't have a sword, as we mentioned earlier. There were no smiths in the land. This weapon that he used, it was that which was used for the cattle. The ox goat was used whenever the farmer was out with the oxen ploughing. One end was pointy. He would have used that to prod the cattle to keep them moving. The other end had a little flat plate on it. And he used that to scrape the clay of the ploughshare. That was the only weapon he had. The only weapon that this man had. And alone he stood against the Philistines and slew 600 men. Now it doesn't tell us he did it all at one go. It could be the Philistines came and sought to raid his farm at various times, and he used this weapon to the best of his ability. He was a lonely fighter, an isolated man. And, you know, as we think of that, we're reminded that you and I have to stand alone at different times. Maybe in the workplace, it may be in the school, maybe in the university. You're on your own. Maybe there's no Christian fellowship. There's no one to back you up. You have to stand alone. And it's not easy. But you know, God gives grace and God gives strength. We need to stand. We need to stand for the cause of Christ. We see it many times in Scripture. We see Nehemiah in the reign of Artaxerxes, and there he is in the palace. He takes a stand for the cause of Christ. This is Reformation Sunday, nearest the end of October. And you know, as we look back over our history, we think of many in the past who stood for God. They stood alone. You think of Luther. There, as he takes the hammer and he takes his thesis and he nails them to the church door in Wittenberg. He was alone. And yet what an impact it had on this world. As we think of that hammer as it battered upon the door and hammered that nail in, what an impact it had on the world today. We speak of the Reformation, that which God used for the turning around of the religious situation of Europe. We look back today and we praise God for Luther, for Calvin, for Knox, for those that took a stand in time past, for the cause of Christ. I don't know whether you have Fox's Book of Martyrs or have ever read it, but we read in it of a character called Thomas Mann. He'd spoken out against the confessional. He denied that the Lord was present in the blasphemy of the Mass. He wouldn't pray to images. He wouldn't pray to Mary. And he was imprisoned. He was condemned as a heretic, and he was taken to Smithfield, and there were many others where he was burnt at the stake, and he stood alone. You think of Anna Skew, another such martyr, stood before the priest, and she would not agree to the Mass. She would not agree to accepting the priest. She would not agree to pray to Mary. And she asked the question of her accusers. She said, how many had Christ and the disciples put to death? The accusers laughed at her. After spending many days on the rack, she was taken and she too was killed at Smithfield. We look back on her history, and there were many who stood alone for the cause of Christ. They were as Shamgars, as it were. Men and women who were bold. Men and women who were fearless for the cause of Christ. And you know, that's the call that comes to you and I today. Those that are saved by God's grace, you and I have to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to stand, and it may be alone, but we have to stand for Him. And we're not alone. We may be alone physically, but we have the presence of God with us. We have that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul could write in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what you and I ought to be today. Men and women who are full of the Spirit of God. Men and women who have a zeal and a desire for the things of God, for the honor of God, and be willing to stand for Him. Shamgar was. We mentioned the weapon that he had, an ox goad. David went into battle against Goliath with 5 stones and a sling. Not much of a weapon. He refused the armor. He refused the sword of Saul. This man, Shamgar, he goes in with an agricultural weapon. You could nearly say it's not much different from a grape, something with a bit of iron and a point on it. That's all he had. Yet he used it. You and I, as we look at ourselves, we may say, well, we have very little. I may look at myself and say, I have very little talents. I haven't much ability. What can I do for the Lord? We have to use what we have. The little that we have, if we give it to the Lord equips us for the rest. This man, Shamgar, he killed 600 of the Philistines. Most likely, as we said at different times, he won a victory for the Lord. You and I, little steps, little bit at a time, we can win a battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the enemy. You think of the Philistines. Imagine the commander going out on a raid to the farm and he goes back to the base again and the captain asks, how did you get on? He said, we lost 12 men. What happened? Shamgar met us with an ox goad. How foolish they must have felt. How daft they must have felt that this man with an agricultural weapon had put their soldiers to flight. Time and time again he's done it. 600 men are killed. You and I may think we're weak and feeble. But you know, every word that we speak for the Master, it's recorded in heaven. Every word that we say for the cause of Christ, it's remembered. Every word that you speak in the workplace for the Lord Jesus Christ, He can use it for His honor and glory. Every witness you make, every stand that you take, the Lord can use it for His honor and for His glory. You know, we read of George Mueller. In his unsaved days, he was a liar, a thief, a gambler. And then he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ while studying for the ministry. And you see how mightily he was used of God in Bristol. He read that verse in Psalm 81 in the verse 10. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And God did. He knew boldness in prayer. You can read of his life and how many times he got down at the orphan's table. And they were seated around the table and he prayed that God would give them food for their breakfast. And the knock came to the door and the food was delivered. He was a man of boldness. Man of prayer. What was his background? He was a thief. He was a liar. He was a gambler. But what changed? God changed his life. Child of God, God has changed your life. And He can give you power. Power in prayer. Power day by day to live and to labor for Him. We look at the life of this man, Shamgar. An unknown man, as it were. Yet God equipped him mightily. God used him mightily for His honor and for His glory. You know, as we look at this man, there's a challenge to each one of our hearts today. What are we doing for the Lord? Are our hearts, are our lives laid on the line and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You have a children's mission coming up, as our brother mentioned in the announcements. Help is needed. Are you able? Are you willing to help? Are you willing to do a service for the Master? The disciples were fishermen, humble men, tax collectors. God used them. Peter, an old fisherman, standing up on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the kingdom of God. That's what God can do with individuals that are sold out to him. Here's Shamgar, most likely a farmer, and yet he was willing to serve the Lord. He was willing to do the little that he could, and God blessed it. Friend, today will you do that? Will you give the Lord your heart, your life? Will you surrender it completely to him? Maybe you're here in this meeting and you can't do that. Maybe you're a sinner. Maybe you're unconverted. You read of Shamgar and you read of the power of God, and those are things that are alien to you. Will you not come today and surrender your life to the Lord? Will you not come and confess your sin? Will you not repent of your sin and know the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ? You are one of the enemy. You're doing the work of the old devil. If you're unconverted, if you're not serving the Lord, then you're against the Lord. You're like the Philistines were in the lifetime of Shamgar. Will you not come and get right with God? The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to see if he's willing to cleanse. He's willing to forgive. He forgives men and women. Still doing that today is the day of grace. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Unsaved one, come to Christ today. Child of God, in this meeting, as we read of this man Shamgar, may each one of us here, may we be Shamgars. May we be men and women that use what we have at our disposal for the cause of Christ. May we be men and women that are willing to stand alone and to be counted for the cause of the Master. This Reformation Sunday, as we look back and think of those that have given their lives for the Christian heritage that we have, will we be counted for the cause of Christ and throw our back in and do whatever the Lord would have us to do? We trust and pray that the Lord will write these words upon each of our hearts this morning.